Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory. Woo! You better put them hands together.
Put them together, B&E, on this Tuesday.
D. Hogan.
Yes, sir.
Who is raising these crazy-ass girls? Zay, who's raising these crazy-ass girls?
That's a random question.
Seriously. Their daddy's not around. I'm not saying make your kids afraid of you, but I raised two girls too, and believe me, for half their childhood life, they were horrified of me. With being a coach, they were like, if they come in the same room with me, they would be all flustered, and I didn't mind that, to tell the truth, because when I spoke, I had them listen. Now when they got older, they started getting their certain ways, and then when they became adults, that was no longer my job to raise my daughters. I'll always be dad, but I'm not their boss. I was never their boss after a certain age. They were the boss. So I'm trying to figure out who's raising these crazy-ass girls, Zay.
I'm getting
I don't know, but...
Social media? Is social media raising these young girls?
I don't know, but Brittany Rayner's track record is pretty thick with NBA players and celebrities. She got Drake on the list, Jamal Murray, Colin Kaepernick made the list. So, yeah, she gets around.
Yeah, and it's a way to get famous for sure, and you
need to try another avenue.
Well,
everyone's getting a little blocked up in this modern day.
Very lucrative, at the same time, a lot of people make a lot of money on those apps and becoming influencers, as they call them.
And as I say, crazy asses. Well, so it looks like that's a part of it too.
Oh yeah, they flaunt their business. And as somebody accurately texted, can you imagine if a nearly 30-year-old man had a tweet about, I'm coming to campus and watch your co-eds.
And the minute you hit campus, you'd be in jail.
Right? But yes, I mean, that's where we are. But Zay brought us that in, hot or not. I do not have an answer of who's raising these people. I'm probably very proud parent of two great sons and a daughter.
And you got a daughter too.
Yes. She's on Instagram. She does her thing, but really it's just pictures. And.
But you got them. You see them.
You know
how to get to them.
Sure, and they're fine.
You still have control over that situation, even though she's in college.
Me?
Yes.
No.
You don't? That's mom's deal? She got control of that?
No, I mean, look, she's got good taste, I think, in what she posts and what she puts out there, and respect for that. But that's her, and that's... But no, like, she's in college now. I can't... I would still... If she put something out I didn't agree with, I would put it out there. My son put something out the other day. I felt I had to let him know. I think, hey, take it easy, man. Take it easy.
Yeah, but there's always somebody looking. There's always somebody,
and it's always there, right? I mean,
say for jobs. I mean, if you're looking for a job, they're going to come back to all of that stuff.
And that's what I said to him. I said, hey, look, man, that's always there. I mean, that's always. I mean, it wasn't really that big of a deal, but at the end of the day, it was just a little. Some people are going to be offended by the humor or whatnot. So I was like,
right.
Just take don't do that.
Yeah,
don't you because it's always there for a potential employer. Anybody to look at. So
yeah, and they can twist it any way they want to.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's a tool, but it's also a dangerous tool, and that's the downfall of society with social media.
Yes,
but that's the way that's going for sure as we get it going. But to the question of who's raising them, I don't know. And some would say they've been empowered and they get to control how they want to control themselves, right?
And I'm there's no doubt in my mind, there's a lot of daddies that have disappeared in some of those girls' lives, too. They hadn't been around for a long time.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so on that front. But, hey, coming up, did you see that our friends over at Texas Monthly have put out their top 50 barbecue spots in all of the great state? And 7 local establishments have made the list. We'll get into some of that coming up. Your favorite barbecue. You can start up the new tour of the best barbecue joints all over the great state of Texas. We'll hit that coming up. First, though, let's get you the news. Caught up on the news of a busy Tuesday morning. Top Gun, Law and Quim Reynolds bring you the news. Let's start with the baseball from last night. Astros and Red Sox from Fenway Park. Of course, back on game two on Saturday, the Boston Red Sox belted two grand slams, one in the first inning, one in the second inning, with Rafael Devers and J.D. Martinez. Well, last night, to start off game two, after they won that game 9-3 on Saturday, last night, second inning, it was their leadoff man, Kyle Schwarber, coming to the plate with the bases loaded again, and another home run off a 3-0 pitch from Jose Urquidy. It is their third grand slam in 11 innings. They become the first ball club to hit three grand slams in one postseason series. They go on to win that game 12-3 last night and beat the Astros, take game three. They're up 2-1 now. Game four is tonight. Zach Greinke versus Nick Pivetta. Your starting pitching matchup, Boston now two wins away from a World Series appearance. Same case for the Atlanta Braves over in the National League. They're two wins away. They took the first two games from L.A. in Atlanta over the weekend in walk-off fashion. They'll play game three tonight, this afternoon, I should say, at Dodger Stadium. L.A. has won 12 of the last 13 over Atlanta in that building at Dodger Stadium. Walker Buehler faces Charlie Morton in that one. In the NFL, Monday Night Football last night, good one to wrap up week six. Derrick Henry rushed for 173 yards and three touchdowns. To lead the Tennessee Titans to a 34-31 upset of the Buffalo Bills. Henry scored on runs of 3, 13, and 76 yards. Titans defense stopped the Bills quarterback Josh Allen on fourth and a yard from the three-yard line with 12 seconds to go as Buffalo went for the win instead of kicking a game-tying field goal. Longhorns into their bye week now. Going to take some time to heal up some bumps and bruises and try to figure out what's gone wrong over the last couple of weeks. 4-3 now for Texas. They've blown big second-half leads in each of their last two losses to Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Yesterday, Steve Sarkisian remained optimistic that this team can get it figured out over the next five games.
I think the promising part for us is, you know, we're plenty capable to compete at a very high level, which we've done now for two straight weeks against two top 10 teams. Had leads in the fourth quarter, and then ultimately didn't finish those ball games. So I don't think it's about our ability to coach. I don't think it's about our ability to execute and to play, because we've proven we're more than capable to do that. Now it's about our ability to sustain that and to do it at the critical moments, even after maybe there's some momentum swings that happen in the game.
Meanwhile, over at College Station yesterday, Texas A&M riding a two-game winning streak with head coach Jimbo Fisher. Beat Alabama, beat Missouri, but the question came yesterday for him about the LSU opening that's coming, with Ed Orgeron agreeing to a buyout with the Bayou Bengals, and Jimbo Fisher adamant that he's going nowhere. Plans to be in College Station and coach there the remainder of that 10-year contract that he's coaching under.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Football's back. Come do your end zone dance after you buy or rent the equipment you need and win a bottle of 1942 Don Julio or Blanton's Whiskey. TopGun.net will shoot you straight.
I think it's fair to say Derrick Henry, first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't think there's a doubt about that at this point. But how about this? Derrick Henry recorded his sixth career 70-yard run or more. 70, that's sixth time he's done that. That passes Barry Sanders and O.J. Simpson for third on the all-time list. Third.
Yeah, and that big sucker is fast.
He's amazing.
When he gets going, he is, you know, last night it was like, is this guy going to grab him by the legs? It was like, no.
Yeah.
You'll end up breaking your arm if you stick your arm out there.
He's the ultimate weapon at that position. He's also the first player with a 70-yard running touchdown in five straight seasons. No one's ever done that. And that's the question about Derrick Henry. How long can he keep up this, you know, carry total? And, you know, he just seems to get stronger. Like, you feel like traditionally over time you've seen these big power backs kind of wear down. The wear and tear, the pounding that comes with all the carries, but he just keeps.
Yeah, he doesn't look like a junk food eater.
No.
He looks like a guy who takes really good care of his body.
Speaking of the internet and social media, there's some videos out there of him working out and doing this huge squat press. I mean, this dude is a powerful man.
Yes.
And the fact that at 250 pounds, he runs 21 and a half miles an hour.
And don't you have to be a badass to be him?
Yes.
I mean, serious. What he does to professional football players,
yes.
What he does to their bodies.
Yes. I mean, he's the biggest, you know, what is it? What was the song? Big Bad John?
Yeah, he
I mean,
is Big Bad.
He's just
Big Bad Derek, yeah.
He's a monster. And look, I mean.
Hell, they call him the king.
I mean, the guy, as we said in a B&E Fact of the Day recently, and he added to that last night, over a 40-game span in NFL history, no one has amassed more rushing
yards.
We're
talking about Jim Brown.
He passed Jim Brown in that regard. So, I mean, what he's doing is legendary, and it's all time. I mean, it's like Earl Campbell. But unlike Earl, he's not breaking down. He's just keeping going, getting
right.
better, and getting stronger. it appears. But that was fun to watch last night, him running all over the really good Buffalo Bills. Bills came in with the number one scoring defense in the National Football League.
Yeah, I'm going for it on fourth down. I am not wanting to see that guy in overtime. I'm just not. I don't feel good about them continuing to give him the ball. I got to try to get a win right away. If I'm the Bills, yes, you got to give me maybe a better play than that. But the idea of going for it right there, he sounds good to me. Because that guy will wear, that guy's just going to wear you down. A couple runs. Yeah, you got him for six. Yeah, you got him for four. You know, you'll get him for a 2 yard. You even get him for a loss every once in a while. But it's just that one where he finds that hole and there's a guy in it with just arms. And those arms are like all mangled after he goes by him.
Yeah.
And then he outruns the rest of you.
He gets into your secondary. It's over.
I really haven't seen angles where they get to him. He gets a full head of steam.
Well, I'll also say, you know, I don't have a problem with Sean McDermott going for it and trying to get the win and avoid overtime. It's just incredible. I've never seen a professional offensive lineman get dominated like the left tackle did. I mean, that was – I don't know if – he had to have missed a snap count, right? Because if he – I mean, he got destroyed. The reason they didn't convert on a six-inch play but on a quarterback sneak with a 6'5 quarterback was that the left tackle got beaten so quickly – and so ferociously.
Right down the line so quick.
That he got shoved into the quarterback. I mean, it was like he almost didn't know the ball had been snapped. It was that powerful. I mean, that was crazy. And I'll ask you this question, and then we'll get into some of these barbecue rankings. You know, last year, remember the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were 7-5 at one point, and then they got to the bye and went on to win the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. I mean, they were the best team when it mattered, right? So they were 7-5. Gosh, in November.
By the way, and their quarterback, Tom Brady, is the best quarterback sneak guy I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, no doubt. Of knowing when to, the timing of it,
how
to find that crease. I agree with you on that. But so I say that you know, we're only six weeks into the season, and we're talking about Arizona as the best team. Cowboys are right in the mix. Who's better? But remember, you know, in November 20th of last year, we probably wouldn't have picked Tampa Bay to win the Super Bowl. So it is a long season. Who are some teams that you think maybe aren't playing great right now but could get better? And I just put
saw them last night. The Titans are one, I believe.
Yeah, I put Tennessee into that conversation.
If their wide receivers get healthy.
That's right. I mean, and with that guy and an improved defense, and we've seen them make runs late. But, yeah, that's one of those teams. They're kind of built for January and built for the postseason. You mentioned they're playing Kansas City this week. Is Kansas City ready to saddle up and stop that big dude?
No, hell no.
Come Sunday?
That defense, no.
Yeah, so you're looking for teams that – you know, the last thing you want to do, and this was for the Cowboys, you want to keep getting better. You want
right.
to peak. I mean, again, the Buccaneers were 7-5 in November last year and went on to win the Super Bowl.
If Lamar Jackson keeps going the direction he's going, whether it's running and passing, I think the Ravens will be tough. And they got the greatest kicker in the world.
Yeah,
the
Ravens are 5-1, too.
They got a bunch of wide receivers that can absolutely fly now. And they got a guy who's starting to get used to throwing it down the field.
Well, and in that division, they play Cincinnati this week, I believe, and Cincinnati's 4-2 with mm-hmm. Joe Burrow. That's one of the early surprises of the – I mean, who would have thought they'd be ahead of Cleveland and Pittsburgh right now in that division? But again, long season.
Pittsburgh's done. They're done.
Even though they beat Seattle on Sunday night.
They're
3-3 now. They just don't look the part. So.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger, his arm is not explosive. It's just – you know, they're trying to get my rookie of the year going, but that offensive line is not good.
It's and Najee Harris is having a good rookie year, by the way. He's in line to be the rookie of the year offensively, as you predicted. I mean, he's going to be in that conversation. Micah Parsons for the Cowboys, likely the defensive rookie of the year at this point. All right, so six games in, that's some thoughts. Give you your thoughts on a team that maybe people are sleeping on right now. Tennessee, hard to sleep on them. They're in first place in their division at 4-2 now after the win last night ahead of Indianapolis, Houston, and Jacksonville. They do get to play in the worst division in football. Or at least in the AFC.
I think the Colts, everybody thought, but there's going to be something they're missing. And the New England Patriots are getting better. Their quarterback's going to get better. And I think their defense, of course, with Belichick, is going to confuse a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't do that to the Cowboys. Cowboys have too many weapons.
I also think, Josh, that Buffalo, obviously,
yes.
last night notwithstanding, but they got to run the ball better. They only ran for 75 yards
yeah,
last night.
I just,
and gave up
they just
a ton.
Don't have that big-time running back. And they've been doing this for 2 years. With the same guys.
Yeah. Josh Allen slipped on that turf on that play. Well, look, I mean, part of it was.
There's not enough movement.
I mean, that guy got steamrolled that left tackle. Hey, Buck, the Texas Monthly list is out. You're a barbecue fan.
I am a barbecue fan.
Top 50 barbecue joints of 2021. We'll go through some of these over the course of the bye week and get to know some of these places. But there are seven here in Central Texas, Buck. Do you realize that? Seven. of the top 50 right here in Central Texas, and there's a couple of newbies to the list. Do you know about Snows in Lexington, right?
Oh my God, the Snows, the best.
That's
worth the trip to Lexington.
That's number 9 on the list this week.
Really?
This year.
That's worth the drive to Lexington.
And they're only open Saturdays, is that right?
Yeah, and when it runs out, that food really generally runs out about noontime, 11:30 or so. When they're done, they're done.
Okay.
I mean, I see people coming from all over the state with coolers to get their fill. But when they're done with their barbecue, they're done.
At 7 on the list of top 10 is Franklin's, right here in Austin. Franklin's Barbecue with Aaron Franklin and the team. So
you know, I've never been there. I've all 30 years.
I've had the food. I've never been.
I've never waited in line.
Me either.
I'm not a waiter in a line for food.
Unless it's a milkshake of some kind. Yes.
We don't do that anymore either.
You don't?
No.
That's
off the list.
As of Friday,
that's off the list.
And how about this one? Somebody gave me some details on this. This is now consistently ranked in the top 10 from Austin. Leroy and Lewis. Leroy and Lewis right here in Austin, Texas. They're over on 121 Pickle Road. I think that's right over by off Congress, I believe, is where they hold that down. But Leroy and Lewis, number 5 on the list for best barbecue in the state. How about this? Somewhat local, down in Seguin, Texas. It's called Burnt Bean Barbecue Company.
I've been there before.
Yeah, that's in Seguin, Texas. So give us some reviews on that if you've been. Number 3, or another one from the local level. Let's see if we find another one here as we go through this list. It's very well done. Interstellar Barbecue out on Ranch Road 620 is number 2 on the list. That's at 620 North. Congratulations to Pitmaster John Bates and his team out there. They are number 2 on the list, and number 1 is a group out of Fort Worth called Goldies. But
The old Goldies,
yeah. But I saw in our top 50, our friend Louis Miller from Wayne Miller from Louis Miller Barbecue made the top 50 again. His sister Leanne with La Barbecue downtown there, they made the list again of the top 50 in Central Texas, in all of Texas. Which is pretty cool, and we'll go through some of those here through the course of the
week. I'm just wondering if my Migas is off the list, too. Got to be careful.
Your Migas?
Yeah, from the docs. You know, they're trying to get my cholesterol level down. It's not bad. It's not ridiculous, but I don't know if maybe some of the juices get clogged in my arteries. You know what I'm saying? It caused me to go haywire.
Yeah.
Zay, those milkshakes shouldn't be doing anything to me, right? They should just go through the system and out the other end, right? Like that caramel, that new caramel one from Mighty Fine.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
For me?
Yeah.
But for others, yes. Not for me, though.
Yeah.
Zay, you're a barbecue guy. Have you tried any of these?
I'm like y'all. I've been to Franklin's, but not actually been to Franklin's.
You don't stand in line, right?
Nah.
I was actually at Louis Miller's pretty recently. We went to Coke Fest, right? The Coke Fest weekend out there in Hutto, Texas. And so on Saturday before the shows, we gathered out there at Louis Miller and had some incredible barbecue. So we'll run through some of that list, and props to everybody that made the list this year.
Yeah, I'm just one of those guys that I just don't like to wait in line for food, really any food. But I guess if you're going to do it, barbecue probably is the thing to do, right?
If you're going to wait.
Yeah,
you're planning a day around it kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I'm not like waiting in line for somebody's fish.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Also on the list from Austin, Micklethwaite Craft Meats, which is a big one. That's over on Rosewood in East Austin. Good for them. Valentina's, Tex-Mex Barbecue, right there on, and they made the list of the top 50. And, you know, Valentina's is actually moving into a brick-and-mortar location in Buda. They're actually, because they've been in that trailer
right there
on the Manshack, almost to the end of Manshack there. And they are always packed and always doing great. And Valentina's is actually opening up right there in the Buda Mill and Grain, right in downtown Buda. They're taking on that big, beautiful glass building. So that'll be cool when they come online. So congrats to them and all of the folks who made it into that top 50. And it's always cool to see. So we'll take your thoughts on your favorite spots, if they made the top 50 or not. And we'll run through some of that over the course of the bye week. That's always good barbecue chatter. Because it's that time of year, right, where it's cooled down a little bit, and maybe you're going to take a trip. You got family coming in town. Let's go find the best barbecue. And they're all, I mean, 7 within close driving distance to Central Texas and to where you live is pretty cool. Even a trip down to Seguin wouldn't take you that long to check out one of the top 10. And give us your thoughts. Interstellar.
I've made that trip to Snow's twice.
with Bob Cole.
Yeah, when you make it with Bob Cole, you're going to stop because there's going to be some little hamlets he wants to tell you the history of, and you're going to go into those places and stop at all kinds of little shops with Bob.
This guy says Texas Monthly has ruined Texas barbecue. Lines are long, prices jacked up, awful. Well, I would think that the barbecue, the people who spend their lives, like Casey Studdard, who's one of these days with Whitfield's, we're going to get that on the Texas Monthly list. You know, the labor of love it is to open.
I would think it would enhance barbecue all over.
It enhances it. And our friend Wayne Miller from Louis Miller's and Taylor has been with us many times, and he's the ambassador of smoked meats and how to do it properly. I always think about that, Louis Miller and Taylor, with what Wayne has done. He's third generation with his grandfather. His brother John Miller is barbecue. His sister Leanne with La Barbecue. I mean, they are. And Aaron Franklin used to work the pit at Wayne's place out there at Louis Miller's. I mean, it's almost the first family.
Is there a time that you can go to Franklin's when there's not a line, or you just have to be first in the line?
Well, it's all about that. Once it's out, right? They can't remanufacture it because you cook what you cook overnight, and when it's gone, right. It's gone. And so you got to get in line. And so the line, you know, I think once they start selling, it moves pretty quickly.
I mean, do people just sit there in like lounge chairs and they just move along the way?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Snow's, right? You've been to Lexington to get the Snow's, but that's only on Saturday.
Right.
So you don't think you got to get in line to get there, because if you don't get there too late.
Not if you're with the Hall of Famer, Bob Cole.
Oh, that's right. They can get you a place.
Yeah.
Well, we've seen people on like social media, like people paying people to go hold them a place in line. Like, they'll pay them.
Yeah, I'm not too proud to do that.
You would do that? Make a little cash? Go stand in line and then, hey.
And to get one of these people off the corner, you just stay right here. You know, I did buy, I bought breakfast for a young lady yesterday. She was, I don't know if she was homeless or whatever, but I was at Mickey D's and I needed to get eggs and no bread. I just got scrambled eggs and a couple slices of bacon, and she was there. And she was, you know, she was getting ready to ask me for cash. And I said, how about if I buy you breakfast? And she said, well, I got some money here. Should I give it to you? I said, no, just. And then she said afterwards, she gave me, you know, after I bought her the breakfast, she said, can I get a hug? And I said, no, they're a little nasty homeless girl. We don't, there's no hugs up in here necessary. Just have a great day, I told her.
Just have a great day.
I mean, got after me and saying, hey, well, you probably should have given her a hug. And I'm like, no, I shouldn't have. I did my deed. I didn't need, you know, I didn't need that nasty little hug. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't for you, it was for her. I'm like, well, what I did for her was kind of cool.
Yeah.
How about if we pass up on the hug? I want her hugging up on me. Is that bad of me?
I'm with you. I don't.
She's kind of nasty.
And I'm not big on hugging and touching people I don't know, especially
off the street. I mean, I don't know what she has or whatever.
Still COVID out there,
huh? There's still COVID out there, and she wasn't masked up, and she just had some scrapes and things on her that I just like, I don't need to hug up on that. Here's a nice breakfast, but let's not hug this out.
I gave her breakfast, though. That was a nice thing to do.
Zay, what do you feel about that? Should I have hugged it out with that girl? She said, can I get a hug, or should I just do what I did yesterday and say, no, little nasty girl?
You should at least dapped her up.
You do the fist bump.
No, I didn't do any of that. I'm like, back up here, child.
As to not neglect some locals.
Child of the street.
Somebody tell me about this one, too. There's also on this list, Austin Distant Relatives Barbecue. Never heard of that one.
Relatives?
Yeah, that made the list. Props to them from Austin, Texas, which is pretty cool. As we said, Micklethwaite's on there. And there's also down at San Marcos, Buck. And that's a great, you know, listener base for us. Props down at San Marcos. Let's see if I find this one. They got there's one in Fort Worth called Smokeaholics. That's pretty cool. What's the one in San Marcos that made the list? Somebody in San Marcos made the barbecue list from Texas Monthly, which some suggest is ruining barbecue in Texas. I would disagree.
Killing
our prices. Got to find this one in San Marcos, and we'll get.
Well, meat is expensive right now, right?
Oh, very expensive. Absolutely, it is. Oh, how about this one? Pflugerville Brotherton's Black Iron Barbecue made the list, and then in San Marcos, Texas, we've got there's one in San Marcos. I'll find it before we come back. So congratulations.
Look at those desserts.
Also, you know who made the list? Pinkerton's G Pink there in San Antonio. He's got the name, image, and likeness deal with Bijan Robinson. Remember there? Bijan powered by P. Pinkerton's Barbecue, and he's on his way to maybe a Doak Walker Award this year, maybe even the Heisman Trophy. We'll come back, B&E with you, coming back with Craig Way and a Craig Way report before the end of the hour. Salacious gossip, your blitz, and more on the Longhorns at the bye week, the Cowboys at the bye week. Got to get you a Dak Prescott update. That's coming next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you on a Tuesday, the final local flavored barbecue on the top 50 list at Texas Monthly Buck in San Marcos, Hays County Barbecue and Catering. There we go, Hays County.
There you go.
Down there in San Marcos, Texas. So props to all those that made the Texas Monthly top 50 barbecue joints, including somebody said Interstellar, which was number two on the list out off the 620. Says, guys, my office right next to Interstellar. Best Korean wings you've ever had. So they have barbecue. They have chicken wings too at the Interstellar Barbecue. So good food chatter on a Tuesday. Talking Monday Night Football and Derrick Henry. Astros in a 2-1 hole now in the ALCS, and another pitching nightmare for the Astros last night with Jose Urquidy getting bombed. Dusty Baker can't get a pitcher past the third inning at this point, a starting pitcher that is. So the bullpen is getting worn down. Safe to say. And I don't know what you can expect from Zach Greinke tonight. He has not been great this year, and he's actually been dealing with some issues. So they see him as probably a 60-pitch pitcher at most. So you know, how many innings can he give you tonight? That does not lead to optimism if you're an Astros fan putting Zach Greinke on the mound tonight against Nick Pivetta of the Red Sox, who's actually pitched pretty well down the stretch. So we're watching that doubleheader of baseball tonight, Dodgers and Braves early on the West Coast, and then Astros and Red Sox from Fenway Park. And I think Fox has to find a new broadcast location for their postgame show after Red Sox games, because that was, I watched this last night because I watched the end of the football game, flipped it over in the baseball, and as I said, you got Big Poppy and A-Rod and Frank Thomas, and the location's right there, what do you call it, Lansdowne Street?
Right behind the Green Monster.
Yeah, so they're broadcasting to that street, essentially, like that's the backdrop. And the street is just full of Red Sox fans who have poured out of Fenway Park, or the bars right there on Lansdowne Street.
Yep.
And they start chanting things, and you can't hear what they're saying, what A-Rod and Big Poppy are even saying.
Yeah, like I said, it's a great place for a pep rally behind the monster there in Lansdowne. But I don't know if it's good TV.
It's bad TV.
Everybody can echo right through the street.
I mean, A-Rod's turning around putting a Yankees helmet on and egging them on, and there's like, you know, FUA Rod F Altuve, and then Big Poppy says something, and they
you can hear
cheer.
It loud and clear.
Oh yeah, Big Poppy. Then go Big Poppy. I mean, so it's bad TV. They may need to rethink that, but it's a cool scene. As an Astro fan, I don't want to sit through the game, but that'd be a cool place to take in a ball game, and certainly a playoff game magnitude.
Some cool bars down there. I spent some time down in Lansdowne for sure.
I've heard from folks who, you know, even going to Fenway, but just being outside of in one of the bars watching the ball game is almost as much fun. Very similar to Wrigleyville. Even though Wrigleyville now
may have been the only bar that I ever walked out of, because people were, that's during the time of head banging meat, people wearing like pieces of meat as earrings and stuff.
Pieces of meat?
I mean, it was nuts. It was kind of the.
You're scared? Intimidated? No.
I was not intimidated. It's just
not your scene.
I wasn't digging people with nose rings with like a hot dog in it. You know what I'm saying? It was weird. It was that kind of music. What was that, grunge music? Is that what it was?
Back during in the day,
back in the 70s.
Like '70s.
I mean, it was
grunge is '90s.
Okay, well, it was '70s hippie crazy music.
Okay,
so there was a lot of things with meat going
Deep
on.
Deep Purple.
Then. No, it wasn't even. It was heavier than that. It was heavy metal. I got to believe then, okay. Just crazy music.
Okay, on Lansdowne Street.
Yes,
I've been to Wrigleyville, and I went to Wrigleyville when it was still Wrigleyville. Now it's kind of Yuppieville. I mean, they've really yuppied the place up there on the north side or the west side of Chicago, at Wrigley Field, and it's still cool. But man, in the old days when it was just all kind of like land, like run down and older bars. But now it's kind of yuppie-ish.
Yeah, I kind of worry. When you got a full pork chop as an earring, I was like, no, something's not right here for me. But the grease coming off the pork chop, no thanks. Hot dogs in your nose for nose rings, it's nuts.
I can't even picture what you're talking about here.
I'm telling you, the music.
They had a pork chop in his ear?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Like a real live pork chop.
People were like, meat was the thing that they would pierce themselves in. And have a piece of meat hanging off. meat on your face.
Are you sure you weren't on LSD or something?
And I'm not saying I wasn't. It was during those times.
Yeah. It was the 70s.
It was the 70s, yeah.
You never know. Could that might have just been an earring.
Could have been just a regular earring. That window pane is terrible.
That you thought was a pork chop. Could be. Could be. So that's there. We've also got the Cowboys in their bye week. Longhorns in their bye week. Dak Prescott kind of kidded at his news conference yesterday that the calf strain. He said, I had to give you all something to talk about during the bye week, right, and debate. Sounds like the Cowboys very optimistic that Dak's going to be fine and be back for their game against Minnesota on the 31st. Also, the Cowboys will have Lael Collins back, the right tackle. I mean, Terrence Steele did a good job in his absence. Got to wonder if they think about making him earn that job back.
Mm.
Would you just plug Lael Collins back in? I mean, keep in mind he was their best lineman last year in a disastrous year, but he was their graded best lineman. Does he just walk back in and take that gig, or did Terrence Steele show you enough that maybe he's got to earn that back?
Yeah, I've seen him in some bad games too, Steele. I mean, he's worked hard to get to where he is right now. I don't know if I let Lael. I'm gonna watch him closely, but he's the guy.
I'm with you.
Down the long haul, when you need him when these playoff games start rolling around, you're going to need him.
Well, and I'm trying to find an update on Michael Gallup. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, the Cowboys are arguably the best and most powerful team in the league right now. You know, Arizona would have an argument there. Tampa.
I'm surprised they haven't got something for Michael Gallup. But over the year, they haven't, you know, I mean, he's really a good receiver. I don't know if he's a great receiver. He does it. He makes some great plays at times. But I like that Wilson guy right now, too. I like the way he catches and runs with the ball.
Well, and Michael Gallup's coming up on a spot where they need to sign him, right, and give him a new contract, at least think about that. And
or you get something for him, right?
Yeah, we've talked about that. Maybe trading Michael Gallup to a wide receiver starved team because you get a draft pick or get something, you know, more help on the D line, something. Because I don't want to say you don't need him, but he is expendable, and there's only one football,
right.
So, you know, the trade deadline, I think, comes up in November, early November. So we'll keep an eye on that, of where that could go. But just last week, the Arizona Cardinals made the trade for Zach Ertz. I mean, they're bolstering what they want to do. They got Zach Ertz out of Philadelphia to add another piece for Kyler Murray.
And Philadelphia could use a receiver, too. You trade him within your
division. I wouldn't trade him in the division, I think. But that's what we talked about yesterday. That's how deep the Cowboys are. Cedric Wilson is a, you know, fourth receiver. He's out of Boise State. He made the biggest play of the game. The catch he made on fourth and four,
right,
on the game tying field goal drive to force overtime.
And over the last 2 years, he's been making plays.
What a play that was! You know, it was that they're huge. I mean, I don't know that.
By the way, he's an excellent blocker downfield for a wide receiver too.
Well, I know going into last season that was such a bad one for Mike McCarthy in his first year. You know, I said it's the most talented roster the Cowboys have had in a long time, 20 years since we've been covering the team, and they played like dogs. I mean, they just went out and played terrible, so it was like, man, what a mess. But, you know, now they've added Micah Parsons to that list, and, you know, another round of these draft picks that they took. Remember, 8 of their 11 draft picks last April, all on defense.
By the way, Van Der Esch is playing pretty good, too.
Well, that's... And they hit on a lot of these defensive players, including the big defensive tackle, Adogizua out of UCLA, who's been really good. Micah Parsons has been great. So, I mean, it's just such a supremely talented roster. And guess what? They're playing with a chip on their shoulder. They're playing with an edge. They're playing like they were embarrassed by how they played a year ago. I mean, this is a good football team. And I know we'll do the walk to Dallas conversation, and that will continue. But... No, it's impressive to watch them play football right now. I watched Arizona pretty closely this past Sunday against Cleveland, and they're very good. But I think if they were playing this week, I would pick Dallas to win that game.
For sure.
If they played Arizona.
I would too.
It
may be a shootout.
It probably would. I mean, they're both.
I picked Diggs. He'd have an interception.
But you think when you hear Arizona and you think Kyler Murray and all the weapons and, you know, DeAndre Hopkins and AJ Green, all these guys, and then you think Dallas with all the weapons. The reason they're both real live Super Bowl contenders is that both of their defenses are really good. I mean, the reason that Arizona went into Cleveland and just punked the Browns was their defense was outstanding. They held the Browns to 16 points, and the leading rushing team in the league couldn't run the ball against them. J.J. Watt was great. Your guy, Zaven Collins, the young linebacker from Tulsa, is really good.
Yes.
Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson's, you know, coming into his own as a linebacker. I mean, they're really good, and it's kind of like the Cowboys. They're just really talented. They have really good players, and the Cowboys are the same on defense, because that's what's made the Cowboys a real, not just a fun offense to watch, a Super Bowl contender, is that defense, and you see Randy Gregory, two and a half sacks last week. I mean, and they get DeMarcus Lawrence.
And that's what
back.
The Rams can do, too. They can turn that thing on and off. They can, when they turn their defense on, they're a problem. And they got so many offensive weapons. They really do. They have the receivers.
Yeah,
and
Robert
Matthew
Woods.
Stafford is really good. He's their missing piece.
I think the Rams are right there. I really do. And I think they played a real bad game. But remember, Arizona's already beaten them. I mean, think about the Cardinals. They went into L.A. and beat the Rams badly. They went into Cleveland and beat the Browns badly. They went into Tennessee and beat Tennessee badly. I mean, those are all winning teams. So maybe I'm wrong on the Cowboys in Arizona. I'd like to see it. And obviously, they're the top two teams in the NFC. And you know, don't think I'm forgetting, because there's a guy named Tom Brady in Tampa, and there's a guy named Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Both of those are one-loss teams
don't
as well.
Don't buy into Green Bay. That defense is bad.
Well, they're 5-1.
I know.
And they're winning games. They were 13-3 a year ago. They were 13-3 the year before. I can't just discount a team that has Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones. I mean, they're still a really talented offensive team, but you're right. Their defense, I don't believe, is on par with the Buccaneers. Well, Buccaneers' secondary is a little leaky.
Yes.
Cowboys, can the Cowboys keep playing to that level on defense? Becomes the question. Can the Diggs have two interceptions a game every game or something? I don't know.
Well, if he played against Kyler Murray throws some up for grabs because of his great wide receivers. He'll throw it up there, and that dude right there will go get it.
And I think you're right with Dallas, Arizona, and the Rams. And, well, I'm not even putting the Buccaneers in there. Don't we have to put the Buccaneers in there with the GOAT?
Yeah, they've already beat the Rams, right?
Rams loss was the Cardinals.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers loss was to...
The Buccaneers right now, I mean, as long as you got...
The Rams.
Yeah, okay. As long as you got Tom Brady, you're in it, period. But right now, they're secondary. You know, when you bring old-ass Richard Sherman back off the mat...
You're searching.
And he got a hamstring the first day he gets in the game.
I'm with you. All right, we'll come back. When we do, your blitz yesterday was
ridiculous.
Quite volatile. Let's see if we can do that again. That's always fun. It's only as good as you make it. You know that. Bring it next, plus some gossip first, Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
B&A with you. It's Salacious Gossip brought to you by Bud Light, the world's favorite light beer. And the weather's going to be great this weekend for F1. Looks like it's going to be a great weekend. Packed house. You just heard the message again about no parking, so make sure you're getting your shuttle plans, but make sure you're planning to have some ice-cold Bud Lights while watching the ultimate speed and sound and weekend sensation with some ice-cold Bud Lights, plus Billy Joel, the piano man. You a big Billy Joel fan?
Me?
I know Craig Way is a big
He's one of those guys that I'd definitely go see. Billy Joel, Jackson Browne. From back in the day.
I've never seen Billy Joel in concert. I've heard he's tremendous. I mean, just a
great
showman.
Believe Jackson Browne is the same.
And obviously you don't do it for 50 years like he has without being really good at what you do. But Billy Joel and 21 Pilots, I believe, is playing some music out there too. So F1 is coming this weekend with the Longhorns hitting the bye week. So make sure you get your Bud Lights ready to go. Be safe and smart, but do it with the world's favorite light beer, whether it's F1 or just get out and seeing some live music, enjoying a weekend where you don't have to be frustrated by the Longhorns in late game situations. You can just kick back.
Yeah, we'll have a couple of tickets for that Rolling Stones concert.
It's 1 month away now.
Yes.
All right, what do we make of this? Washington State has fired their football coach for refusing to get vaccinated.
That's his prerogative. If he knows he can get fired for it, that's on him. That's
Nick Rolovich.
Yeah.
Out.
Tell anybody what to do. I'm not going to tell anybody what to do. They told him what to do, and he said no, and now he's been dismissed for it.
Yeah, and it's a state mandate issue from the governor and the top. Of course, it's a state position. He's the highest paid employee in the state of Washington at over $3 million he was making. But
that's a nice campus there at Pullman. It's a cool place to be.
School also said four of Rolovich's assistants will be terminated for their refusal to get the COVID vaccine shot. That's a $3 million gig.
Oof.
$3 million gig. I will say this. This is why it's in gossip, is that our buddy CB on Twitter, Chris Bennett, who now lives in Seattle, he's in Washington, and said names that have already been mentioned include Washington State alum Jeff Banks, who's the current special teams coordinator at the University of Texas.
Nice job for him if you were to try to get that
job. He apparently is alum. I did not know that. And Jeff Choate, who was the head coach at Montana State, was at Oregon or Washington for a long time with Pete Kwiatkowski. That's a name to watch as well. But obviously, Nick Rolovich out at Wazoo.
I mean, some people would say Pullman's not all that. I would say it's if you like scenery and all that kind of
it's
stuff.
It's a beautiful campus.
Yeah.
If you like to snow ski and hike and go to college.
Fish and do all that kind of stuff.
Oh, man, heck, you like the outdoors. That is your spot right there. Hey, Buck, the...
Plus, they got great cheese there.
Cheese. In Washington?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, great cheese?
They have a cannery there. And they have really good cheese.
All right. I thought that was like Wisconsin or something.
No, but Pullman's got, in that area of Washington, they've got some good cheese.
Good cheese. All right. The good cheese in Pullman, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? Halloween's around the corner.
Yes.
Halloween is around the corner. 1 in 3 Americans think they're good at carving pumpkins. Are you good at carving pumpkins?
I was the worst pumpkin carver. I just did that for my kids. All I wanted to do was be able to cut some...
You and I.
Some eyes and a jack-o'-lantern and stick a candle in it on the doorstep so they could go smash it eventually.
So, you know, at the Hogan House, we haven't had an annual pumpkin carving contest for years and years. I mean, my kids are now...
You going to get back to it?
No, we do it. We do it every year.
Yeah.
Like last year, my daughter came home from college with her roommates to be a part of it. It's... And they're really good at it. Zay, are you good at carving pumpkins?
No, not at all.
Me either. I'm terrible. Well, these people come over like these special saws and drills, and it's amazing. And they do it like this elaborate thing. They light them all up. And mine looks like, I don't know, man. Looks like something off of...
I'm mine just to look just right so I can stick that M80 on the inside of it.
Blow it up?
Yeah, and blow it up and see what it looks like afterwards.
Also, over 40% of adults say they plan to dress up for Halloween, yet they still don't know what the costume will be. Zay, are you dressing up for Halloween?
I might.
Okay, do you know what you're going as?
Yeah, I was going to do a canine deal with
me for your
and
new
my
puppy?
Dog.
You yeah. and the dog?
Yep.
Ooh. You're going to be the big dog? Is that what you're going to be?
The big dog. I like it. Like Derrick Henry last night. Zay,
yes.
I'm assuming you're not going to be dressing up.
Who, me?
Yes.
No.
I think we are invited to
dress
a
up like
costume.
The late, great Colin Powell.
Ooh.
Put a general's
the
outfit
general.
On. The general.
Hated to see that yesterday. What a great leader he was for a
yeah,
long, long
good
time.
Good guy.
I think we've been invited to a Halloween party. So,
ooh, a party?
In the neighborhood. So, got to figure that out. Got about 12 days. 12 days and counting. Let's get to your Blitz.
And E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, and any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
I've been dressed up in drag in a long time. It's probably time for me to dress up
like a woman?
For these Instagram models. Probably that time for me.
Brittany Reiner?
If I have to. First Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Boogie, it's Coach O. Where's that McDonald's? They don't want their husband in.
Come on there, Coach O.
We could do an
Come
entire
on,
salacious gossip for a week with Coach O stories.
Oh, he's awful. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky.
Yes, sir.
UT already has a Coach O on their staff. That's it, Jeff Banks.
Oh, my goodness. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Vince? Young? Yeah, hey, Buck, I heard you missed work on Saturday. Hell, Buck, you shouldn't have to work on weekends or any day for that matter.
Oh, God.
He's the greatest player in the history of the Texas football program.
He's got a gig there now. Next Blitzer,
three jobs.
You're up.
Hey, speaking of Halloween costumes, I think I'm going to dress up as Bill Clinton. This is Coach O, Coach Tigers.
Coach O as Bill
Clinton. Coach Tigers. Love
Coach Tigers.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky.
Yes.
Don't scare us with that anymore, but you stay healthy, okay, my man?
Thank you. Appreciate that, Sal. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Find your identity. No more sporadic run game. The last two games, the other team's running back has run
okay,
for two
okay,
fields.
Okay, okay, okay. Run the ball. Pound the rock. We
pound
get
that
it.
Thing. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Sing us a song, you piano man. Sing us a song tonight. He'll crash his car into your bedroom this weekend while drunk on Bud Light.
Oh, yes, the piano man.
He had an incident. He had an incident, too. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Buggy.
Yes, sir.
Well wishes to you, my brother. We need you and Aaron around for a long time. The show people wouldn't be the same without you guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll try to keep away from the sweets. Seriously. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah. Hey, this is Deshaun Watson. Hey,
Can y'all, can Brittany Wiener come on over to my house and give me a massage?
See, his name is, her name is not Wiener.
Reiner.
Right?
Reiner.
Reiner.
She's the one that said hashtag, what did it say? Watch
your sons.
Watch your sons.
Keep all the young boys away from her. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Buck.
Yes, sir.
I'm anxiously awaiting that next epiphany. Can you give us a little bit of a hint?
Pork chop earrings.
Pork chop earrings is right. Epiphany. I don't. The last one I gave, I thought this group was going to get it together. No, there's still a lot of games to be played up in here. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hogan, it must suck to be wrong and that I'm right.
Thank you. No, we agree. We get it, though. Pound the rock.
Yeah, we get that.
We're not saying you're wrong.
No, pound it in the fourth. But if you can pound it, but it's got to work. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Ever since you started visiting me, Bucky, you getting all clogged up? This is Dr. Jelly Fingers.
We're done. We're done.
Shut it down! Oh, let's go home!
That's one of my appointments tomorrow.
Well, we got breaking news. Yankees, your New York Yankees, Buck, have reached a new contract agreement with the manager, Aaron effing Boone.
Oh, he's that dude is taking pay cut.
No.
They're not going to give him more money after this year.
He didn't take a cut.
Oh, he took a cut. He took the bargain rate right there, guarantee you.
Man, he's sticking
around.
They
got rid of a bunch of his coaches.
Got rid of your guy, Girardi.
This one's got to go, too. It's time.
It's time. You're calling
bring
it
in La Russa. Bring La Russa there.
All right. Tony La Russa?
So you sleep on the bench.
Sleep on the bench. He did do a good job with the White Sox, but wasn't well-liked, it appears. All right, we'll come back. We roll on this Tuesday, recapping now 6 weeks of NFL football. Longhorns back-to-back disappointments, to say the least. We'll hear more from Steve Sarkisian on what the remedy could be for their fourth quarter issues. Plus, someone asked if Casey Thompson is locked in as the starting quarterback of the Longhorns moving forward. We'll hear Sark's answer coming back on B&E.